Lord spake unto Moses, saying, When thou takest the sum of the children of Israel, according to those that are numbered of them, then shall they give every man a ransom for his soul unto the Lord, when thou numberest them, that there be no plague among them, when thou numberest them. This shall they give, every one that passeth over unto them that are numbered, half a shekel, after the shekel of the sanctuary. The shekel is 20 gerahs, half a shekel for an offering to the Lord. Every one that passeth over unto them that are numbered, from 20 years old and upward, shall give the offering of the Lord. The rich shall not give more, and the poor shall not give less than the half shekel, when they give the offering of the Lord, to make atonement for your soul. And thou shalt take the atonement money from the children of Israel, and shalt appoint it for the service of the tent of meeting, that it may be a memorial for the children of Israel before the Lord, to make atonement for your soul. Now chapter 38, verse 35. And the silver of them that were numbered of the congregation was 100 talents and 1,730 shekels, after the shekel of the sanctuary, a becca, a head, that is, half a shekel, after the shekel of the sanctuary, for every one that passed over to them that were numbered, from 20 years old and upward, for 600,000 and 3,550 men. And the 100 talents of silver were for the casting the sockets of the sanctuary, and the sockets of the veil, 100 sockets for the 100 talents, a talent for a socket. And of the 1,775 shekels, he made hooks and so forth for the pillars, and this is what he did with the money. But now, there is something that is similar, and please do not confuse them, and do not interchange the words, unless God does. But here, in chapter 30, it says, each man shall give it for a ransom for his soul. Now, let's turn to Numbers chapter 3. Numbers chapter 3. Now, look at verse 40. And the Lord said unto Moses, Number all the firstborn males of the children of Israel, from a month old and upward, and take the number of their names, and thou shalt take the Levites for me, I am the Lord, instead of all the firstborn among the children of Israel, and the cattle of the Levites instead of all the firstlings among the cattle of the children of Israel. And Moses numbered as the Lord commanded him, all the firstborn among the children of Israel, and all the firstborn males, according to the number of names from a month old and upward, of those that were numbered of them, were, and it gives the number. Now, look at verse 40. And for the redemption of the 213 of the firstborn of the children of Israel that are over and above the number of the Levites, thou shalt take 5 shekels apiece by the pole, after the shekel of the sanctuary, shalt thou take them. The shekel is 20 gerahs, and thou shalt give the money wherewith the odd number of them is redeemed unto Aaron and to his sons. And Moses took the redemption money from them that were over and above them that were redeemed by the Levites. From the firstborn of the children of Israel took he the money, 1,335 shekels, after the shekel of the sanctuary. And Moses gave the redemption money unto Aaron and unto his sons, according to the word of the Lord, as the Lord commanded Moses. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we are thankful that thou dost never let us forget, not constantly reminding us in the same way, but constantly reminding us of certain truths concerning the condition of man. We are thankful for this, our God. Let us know that periodically, when sin would break out in us, or when we trespass, then our God, we remember what we are. But Lord, whether or not we remember it, let us remind us. Let us know whether we remember every day that thy Son gave himself for us. But let us make it that we are on the first day of every week to remember thy Son, the Lord Jesus, in the least. And we thank you for this. So from the portions that we've read tonight, Lord, help us to understand, we pray. Let us understand about our redemption and our ransom and the condition of our souls in thy sight. We confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse as thou hast promised, and prepare lips and hearts to receive the word of God, and bless us this night, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. It is like this. You have the yen, you have the franc, you have the shilling, and you have the dollar. If there were only one nation and one country that coined money or had a certain weight that represented so much money, you would not need what I told you about this morning in Matthew chapter 17. Does your master pay the didrachma? That is, 2 drachma. Does your master pay this amount of money? The 2 drachma was half a shekel, and a stater was a whole shekel. So this is what you find, that when they say, does your master pay the drachma, the tribute money, they don't put it there, but it means the half shekel that I read you about in Exodus chapter 30. And when the stater said, when you open that fish's mouth, you will find a stater which is equivalent to 2 half shekels. And the Lord said, that take and give to them for me and for thee. This is what makes the miracle even more miraculous. And this is what makes the explanation I gave you this morning more important. For this, I would have thought to keep from confusing money for Peter and for the Savior, there would have been 2 coins found in that fish's mouth, or 4 drachma. But instead, the Savior said there will be 1 piece of money in that fish's mouth. And so, the piece of money was taken and given to the collector. 1 piece of money. Half of it for Peter, half of it for the Lord. And yet, even though it was 1 coin, it was incomparably different, the one from the other. I told you about the baptism. Here is one man, let's say the finest Israelite imaginable. Here is Nathan, Nathaniel, an Israelite in whom is no guile, and he is baptized. Here is the Lord Jesus Christ, and he submits to John's baptism. Both of them are baptized in the same way, and yet an incomparable difference between the significance of the baptism. And in like manner, here is a coin that is given. That coin contains the money for Peter and our Savior. But for Peter, it meant one thing. For our Savior, it meant something entirely different. Now, our Savior could live with this, that people would misunderstand, that when a coin was given to them, they would think that Peter is a sinner that needs ransoming, and Jesus of Nazareth is a sinner that needs ransoming. And Peter gives them no explanation whatsoever. And they take it, and the Lord lets them think what they will. But Peter knows the true significance of it. And Peter knew the source of that coin. And for that reason, I emphasize this again, that if it were not for the dignity of the person of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus could have said, if it were one of the better times, go to Judas, who keeps the bag, and tell him to give you a stater, and go pay for you and for me. But that, though coming from the lips of the Son of God, who is truth, would have been enough, the Lord is going to emphasize that what he said is true by this miraculous ascertaining or catching of this fish and acquiring of the money. And when Peter acquired it this way, he understands that when he gives the piece of money, he understands that it came in a miraculous way, and it was supplied by a Lord of nature and of all creation. Peter understood that, but those that received the money did not understand it. And this is part of the lesson contained in the giving of, it says, tribute money. But remember, distinguish this. It is not a tax like render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's. It's not that at all. But this is a special tax that at the first, and I have to give you a little rundown of it, that's why I wanted to take two parts, and I wish all could hear it because they could not understand Matthew 17 without the fullness of this explanation. But in the King James, you read it, and you get the gist of it, and it's a blessing. But when you get it in its context and see exactly what they were coming for, you understand that they were not publicans, tax collectors for Rome, but they were children of Israel collecting the temple tax that Moses, the man of God, laid upon Israel when they were in the wilderness. This is what is said in 2 Kings 12, in 1 Kings 12, and also in the book of Chronicles. It is a tax that Moses, the man of God, prescribed to Israel because God commanded. Now, I think for the sake of ease, I will not have you to turn to the scriptures, but at the first, it says, when you number the children of Israel, you shall take from them. And it says, the only time it is to be taken is when you number the children of Israel. But you will find that later on, it was given as to be collected every year. And you'll find that brought out in the book of Nehemiah. And also, when the people were ever so poor, instead of half a shekel, it was reduced to a third of a shekel. You check that out. Because here is a third of a shekel that is given annually for the repair of the temple. And it sounds so much like the other, you might ask this, well, how dare they reduce the sum? Well, it may very well be that that widow who had two mites cast in all she had, and that was all she had. And the poor Israelites were experiencing poverty conditions. They were selling themselves into slavery, and this meager amount of money could not be secured by them. And so, under the permission of God, it was offered to give a third of a shekel of silver. Now, let me tell you about what it's worth. Can't tell you for sure. You look at the authorities, and they give various interpretations as to how much it is, but I'll simplify it for us so that we can understand it. It's a little over 50 cents, a shekel. And so half a shekel would be about 25 cents. So you would take a quarter and get it, and that would be your tribute money. That would be the money imposed by God upon the children of Israel at first for the ransom of their souls. And so if it were a 25-cent piece, there would be a 25-cent piece for Peter and a 25-cent piece for Christ. But we have a 50-cent piece. And so the 4 drachma would be equal to a stater, just as 2 quarters are equal to 50 cents. And when Peter opened that fish's mouth, he looked in and he found a 50-cent piece, and he went and gave it, and that's what it was. But if it were Old Testament times, the coin, the amount of money that would be found in the fish's mouth, would have been a shekel. And it would have been a half shekel for Jesus and a half shekel for Peter. But when it came to the times when Herod and Rome were in control, they had to have an exchange of money, and so it was the didrachma. 2 didrachma, the double drachma, that was half a shekel, and 4 didrachma, or tetradrachma, that was equivalent to the stater, and so that's what it meant. The exact amount for our Savior and for Peter was found in that fish's mouth. All right, now let's learn a little bit about the distinction between the money that is required in Exodus chapter 30 and the money that is required in Numbers chapter 3. These are likenesses and differences. When it came to the amount of money in Exodus 30 for the ransom of the souls of the Israelites, the amount was half a shekel silver. When it came to the redemption money in Numbers 3, 4, the firstborn, the amount was 5 shekels of silver. And so the redemption was 10 times as costly as the ransom. Follow this. When the ransom money was paid, it was paid by the individual himself. But when the redemption money was paid, it was paid by the parent of the firstborn child. When the ransom money was paid, it was paid at the age of 20 years. The individual now is attaining his age. He's old enough to go into the army, and this time he has to secure his own money, whereas when he was ransomed, when he was redeemed, his parents had to pay the money. But the ransom has to be secured by himself, whereas the redemption money for the firstborn is paid by the parents. And the two words are these. The word ransom is the word that is translated elsewhere, the same root word, atonement. And so here is money that is given for the atonement of the man's soul. But when the man is a firstborn, the parents give 5 shillings for the redemption of him as the firstborn. And so the parents are confessing when they give the 5 shillings that they are redeeming their firstborn son. Just as in Israel, God accepted no redemption for the Egyptians, but God slew their firstborn, and then God worked it out with the nation of Israel, which I shall not explain at this time. But God slew the firstborn in Egypt. And after that, in the book of Exodus, God said, now, I slew the firstborn in Egypt, but what you are to do is this. Every firstborn that openeth the womb is mine, and they shall be redeemed. So, twice Israel is reminded that they are indebted to God, and they need ransoming, and they need redeeming. Now, this is why it was so difficult, and why I hesitated to tell you about Leviticus chapter 12 last week, for this reason. That little child that's born defiles his mother, and the mother, if the child is male, is defiled 7 days, and then in the 8th day the child is circumcised, and the mother remains defiled. She is unclean. She cannot touch any holy thing, cannot come into the sanctuary for 40 days. And then she presents this firstborn child unto the Lord. Now, why did they say something about atonement and ransom and redemption in Leviticus 12? Well, it may be because these things are going to come out on the 8th day when the child is circumcised. It shows this insensitivity to the Spirit of God and the things of God. It is a confession when the male is circumcised. I know that in me, that is in my flesh, there dwelleth no good thing. And when the child is circumcised, that means that there is this alienation from God. And then, when the child is presented to God as the firstborn, there are the 5 shekels of silver paid, saying, this child needs redemption. And then when the child attained 20 years of age, the child gave 1/2 shekel of silver, confessing, I need to be ransomed. My soul needs atoning for. And so, you find all of these things, and yet you would think that in Leviticus 12, something about the sinfulness of the child would be spoken of, but there it speaks of the mother and her need of cleansing. Whereas, apart from this child being born, she would not be unclean 40 days. It would simply be that monthly uncleanness which would require the 7 days. And so that is why I hesitated, but I've given you 3 examples when God says, this child is alienated from me. It needs to be brought into covenant relationship and have the flesh in which there is no good thing removed. And then the child needs redeeming and the child needs ransoming. And God has told us again and again and again the need of getting right with him, because God is holy and man is sinful. And it starts at birth. All right. The ransom is the ransom for his soul when he's 20. The man pays that. The redemption is paid by the parents for the firstborn, and it's paid on the 40th day when he's presented to the Lord. Every firstborn. All right. Let's think of these things a little bit in relation to our Savior. You remember I read to you in Luke chapter 2 that these things happened to our Lord. That when he was 8 days old, he was circumcised, and when he was 40 days in her purifying, the Lord Jesus was presented unto the Lord as the firstborn. Now, here is what is so remarkable, you'll find that this money, at first, was only to be paid when the children of Israel were numbered. But eventually, it became something to keep the temple in condition, and it was gathered every year. However, if you read the Jewish authorities, they say that in an unobtrusive way, the collectors would come and they would politely ask, as they asked Peter, does not your master pay the tribute money, the half shekel? That's what they're asking for, if they use Old Testament language. And Peter said, yea. But when Peter said, yea, then Peter is involving our Lord in this condition. He is saying, my Savior needs ransoming. He needs atoning for his soul, and denying the holiness of our Savior and the dignity of our Savior and the exemption by all standards from this tax imposed by Moses in the wilderness. But Peter didn't know that, and the Lord had to explain it to him. The Savior had to explain to Peter who he was and just what claims the Word of God had upon him. But he said, now, when you go and open that fish's mouth, you take the money and give it to them for me and for you, lest we cause them to stumble. And so at times we do things without giving any explanation, and as I told some of you individually this morning, if you tell the world the explanations that I'm telling you tonight, they will laugh at you and they will not accept them. But after they become children of God and you tell them, they will say, of course. So the Lord knows it is needless to give these explanations to those that are uncircumcised in heart, those that are enemies of the cross of Christ. They were rejected. It says, thou that destroyest the temple and raisest it in 3 days. He said he was the Son of God. You tell them all these things. Tell them about the virgin birth of Christ. Tell them about the dignity of the Son of God, that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and they will laugh at you. But once they become saved, it's like Paul says concerning himself. The only thing they understood about me was this. He that once persecuted us now preacheth the faith. And then he would understand. And so the Savior says, do it this way, and do not cause them to stumble. No need to give them an explanation. So when it came to his baptism, John the Baptist had it explained to him, but none of the other Israelites. It would do no good. But after the other Israelites became followers of Christ, then they would understand as John the Baptist did. And in like manner, concerning this money, this half shekel that was required, when the Lord Jesus said, go pay them. No need to tell them who I am, where I came from, the dignity of my person. Just go pay the money, and let's not cause them to stumble. But do you understand, Peter? And Peter might not have understood it first. But just as I told you, when he stilled the storm, they said, this is the Son of God. So in like manner, when Peter went and found that miracle performed in his life, he would say, what am I doing obligating this man to pay the temple tax? This man is of God. Peter would understand that. And that is what is connecting these two portions together. The redemption money and the ransom money. All right, think of this now. So many times, God is reminding Israel and their great need in his sight. He reminds them at times as a nation. At times, he reminds them as a family. And at times, he reminds them as individuals. At times, he reminds a father and a mother. Now, we're not through with atonement in this chapter. You'll find in Leviticus chapter 16, God mentions in Leviticus chapter 23 this feast of the atonement. He tells in brief in Leviticus 23. But in Leviticus chapter 16, he goes into all the details how the entire nation of Israel must have this day of atonement fulfilled in their lives. Now think, when they were in Egypt, here is each family that is responsible. The high priest in Leviticus 16 on the Day of Atonement was responsible for atoning for the nation of Israel. But in Exodus chapter 12, the head of the family was responsible to procure a lamb and to take the blood of that lamb from the bowl and swing it at the entrance of his dwelling place. And so here is the family. Now, when a father and a mother have a firstborn son, that is when they have to pay this money, and they understand. And then, when the son reaches 20 years of age, and he has to pay the money, he understands. And so God, nationally
as a family, as father and mother, as individually, God reminds them over and over again, there is need for the redemption, for the ransom, for the payment to me, that you may have no plague to break out among you. And how could they forget this thing? All right, let's think of this a moment. Concerning Peter this morning, and just what that money meant. Here is the Lord Jesus who owed nothing, and yet he paid. He paid a debt he did not owe. Here is a debt that Peter owed that he could not pay, but the Lord Jesus provided payment for Peter. Now, in like manner, in the Old Testament, God makes it this way. Every family has to procure the blood to deliver them from Egypt. And if a family was so small, it could be worked out with more. It had to be procured by the individual. So here I am. I'm in a land of darkness. How am I going to escape the judgment of God? Some did not even know the judgment of God was falling, but it was not the responsibility of God or of Moses. Moses told Pharaoh that the judgment of God was going to fall, and Pharaoh hardened his heart, and the judgment of God did fall. But God had told the Israelites, and having told the Israelites the remedy, then it was in their power to personally secure the remedy for deliverance from the judgment of God upon them in Egypt. In like manner, here is a young man 20 years of age. God says, you must pay the ransom, half a shekel of silver, lest a plague break out among you. And the man had to secure this amount of money. Now let me show you the beauty of this. It is an amount of so, is there anyone here so poor he couldn't lay hands on 25 cents? Could you? You say, all right, listen, I could pay the ransom money for all of you here, you see, and still have some left over. And yet, not all people have that much. But if I say I can pay for all of you, God says, no. The rich shall not pay more, and the poor shall not pay less. But wouldn't you think that a rich man that had a high social position in the world, that he should pay more? God says, absolutely not. Well, don't you think that a poor person who has so little should pay less? God says, absolutely not. The price of the ransom for sinners' souls is identical. How big a sinner are you? You've sinned more than I have, and I've sinned more than you have. We haven't all sinned the same amount. There is not the same degree of sinfulness in us and the practice of sin in each one of us, but it makes no difference. If you have sinned less and I have sinned more, how much less did Christ die for your sin and pay for your redemption than he did for mine? You say he paid the same amount for my sin that he did for yours. Whether mine are few or many, the same price. And that's what God is saying. At times, the Lord pictures for us the price of redemption by actual blood, the blood of an animal. And that blood of the animal pictures the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But God at times pictures it not with the blood of an animal, but with silver. And God says, this silver is a picture of the price of redemption that my son had to pay. And now, the Lord Jesus Christ is presented to the whole world. God has made it, and he has to arrive upon some amount to give an illustration. And what he does is to arrive at an amount about 25 cents. And it might be ever so hard for some to come up with that amount. But God says, you must come up with that amount. But when they do come up with that amount, then God says, I will accept. And one that has much more, let me give you more. God says, you can't give me no more. The only thing that I can give to God is the precious redemption that he paid for the price of his blood, a half shekel of silver. That is what I gave for the ransom of my soul. What did you give? Could you give any more than that? You say, there is no more than that. No, and there's no less than that. And so God is no respecter of persons. And no matter whether you've committed many sins or few sins, the Lord Jesus has to shed the same blood on the cross for you and for me. And God pictures that by saying, no more for the rich, no less for the poor. And when this money was given, they were acknowledging that we had sinned and come short of the glory of God and we are in need of redemption, but I was able to lay hold on a price for the ransom of my soul. Think of that. God has made the gospel so simple that any one of his creatures, even those that are retarded, that have little understanding, the others God himself cares for, but they can comprehend this. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life. Who cannot lay hold on that way of salvation? You say any fool can. You have Christ, you have the life. You have not Christ, you have not life. That hath a shekel of silver. Anybody can comprehend that. But at the same time, one like the Apostle Paul understands the sufficiency, the great abundancy, the worth of the Lord Jesus Christ. But God says, even though you understand it more, and this man understands it less, he has offered my Son to me. With his comprehension, I accept it. And you have offered my Son to me in your comprehension. But I only accept the same from you and from him. There is absolutely no respect of persons among God. And this is the reason. But now, think. Here is one, when he becomes of age, and he's able to lay hold on this money. And here is a parent, when this child is born, and they might ask the question, well, why would I have to pay 10 times as much for my firstborn son, and those afterwards, this does not have to be paid. And I'll show you the key if you'll turn to Genesis 49, just this, in Genesis 49, because the significance of the firstborn is given us here. And this is the way that God explains it to us. In Genesis chapter 49, look at verse 2. Assemble yourselves and hear, ye sons of Jacob, and hearken unto Israel your father. Reuben, thou art my firstborn, my might, and the beginning of my strength, the preeminence of dignity, and the preeminence of power. Now, this is why it's so costly to redeem the firstborn. Here, the firstborn represents man in his strength, in his dignity, in his preeminence, in his power. Here is man standing before God in all his goodness and greatness and power. And God says, I strike man down. He strikes a blow at all that man is. And this is what it says in Psalm 39. It said, man at his best is altogether vanity. And so here is the firstborn of Egypt, the best that man can produce, the pride of man. And God smites him down. And so here is the firstborn. And if the firstborn needs redemption, how much more those that are less? If preeminence, dignity, strength, power, if all of them are struck down by God and they have to be paid for, then how much more those that are less than that? And so in the firstborn you have man and all his pomp and all his conceit and all his vanity and all his self-sufficiency. And God says, that is why the firstborn is mine, and that is why the firstborn has to be redeemed. And so whether we are ordinary sinners, we have to pay the half shekel. And if we happen to be those that are firstborn sinners, then 5 shekels have to be paid. And if we are sinners in Egypt, then blood has to be put on the door. And if we are part of the nation of Israel, atonement has to be made on the Day of Atonement. And God is showing us that we are alienated, we are in debt, we need release. And God says, I make available, I make possible all these things, needs that are yours, and they are done this way. And so let's rejoice. There is a spiritual accounting that we have to give to God, and God makes it possible for man to meet that account in the Old Testament this way, but in the New Testament a different way. For as much as you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from the vain manner of life handed down by your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without spot and without blemish, all the payment, all our shortcomings that were needed were supplied by Christ, and we lay hold on him and offer him to the Father, and God releases us, and God redeems us, and God frees us. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we are thankful for the sufficiency that is in thy Son, the Lord Jesus. How great is our need. How sinful are we in thy sight. And yet, Father, every need that exists in our life is met by the sufficiency of thy Son, the Lord Jesus. And so we thank you now that we stand before you ransomed and redeemed and unafraid. We stand before you because of the finished work of Jesus Christ our Lord. And we thank you for it, our Father, that we've been able to lay hold on this price of payment, even thy Son, in all his sufficiency. Receive our thanks in his name, the name of Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. The meeting is over.